Welcome, all of you wine and true crime lovers. I'm Brandy.
And I'm Chris.
And this is Texas Wine and True Crime. Thank you for being here, friends, for this week's episode. We are discussing the case of Scott Peterson.
We are.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Brandy.
This is a big case. It was a national case, right? And we're going to talk about just some updates. There's been updates in Scott's case. We'll jump into that. And then we will talk about your delicious dinner that you paired with our Texas lush wine from Ready Vineyards.
I was going to say delicious wine as well.
So good. Thank you. Thank you. The Texas Wine Club, txwine.com is where you can find them. But they had sent us the spicy package, and this was our last wine in the spicy package. But it was good, Chris.
And we kind of had a semi-spicy dish, I guess you could say.
Yes, we did. Your sour cream chicken enchiladas hit the spot once again.
Thank you. Thank you.
We've had a couple people knock on the door for the recipe. Not literally.
I was going to say.
On the World Wide Web door has asked for the recipe.
You're reaching out. It's fairly simple.
Yeah. Somebody asked if it was a secret. I don't think so. You willing to share your secrets?
Sure.
Maybe not all of them. Maybe a little secret.
I kind of stole it a little bit too.
Why reinvent the wheel?
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. So we'll talk about that in just a bit. Chris, we are at Henry's Majestic once again, coming up first Thursday in April. I don't know what cases we're going to do. We're going to decide that this week, but always a good time. Always a good time at Henry's. So Dallas friends, come and see us at Henry's Majestic coming up first Thursday of every month. So we'll see you there.
Yeah, the weather should be nice. So I think we'll probably be outside this time.
Maybe. So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Always a good time. So come check us out. All right, Chris. Well, we did this case, Scott Peterson, when we did the live show last time at Henry's Majestic.
Yeah, and he's kind of like come back into the media, I guess, too.
He has. So. He had a hearing on March the 12th over Zoom. Well, he was over Zoom.
Yeah.
The other people were in the courthouse. So you're going to give us a little update at the end of the show on where things stand. What's happening next? When's the next hearing? And we're going to talk about the Innocence Project. The LA Innocence Project has picked up Scott Peterson's case. So there are things that we need to discuss tonight.
Absolutely.
Okay. So let's go back 22 years. I can't even believe it's been that long since this case. I'm sure everyone listening has heard of this trial and case, the death of Lacey Peterson and her unborn son, Connor, and Scott Peterson, her husband at the time, went to prison for her murder. Her body came up in the San Francisco Bay. We're going to talk a little bit about that and just the timing of how things happen. But let's talk a little bit about timeline and how they met. So I found out some really interesting things, Chris, about their relationship. The first thing was, I heard she was sort of the pursuer with this. She had met Scott Peterson and she thought
he was a waiter.
I think so. Yeah. Or she met him in a restaurant. Yeah. And she was telling her friends and her mother that she had just possibly met her future husband and thought he was very attractive. And she was a very, my research and what I have read about her, she was very outspoken.
Headstrong as well.
Headstrong. So when we talk about some of these things of like how he claims Lacey Peterson knew about this affair, we'll discuss. Her friends and family did not believe that was actually true. And if she did, it would have been probably discovered sometime in the wee hours before she disappears. So Lacey was 27 years old.
Very
young. She is pretty much about to be due. She's 8 months pregnant at the time. And we're talking Christmas Eve. So when they met, right, we talked about how they met. Well, when they got married, they went years without getting pregnant, okay? Mm-hmm. I also read that he actually did not know if he wanted to start a family.
Yes, that's what I kind of read as well.
He didn't know if he wanted to be a father. He knew he wanted to be married to Lacey, but you know, marriage is one thing, but having children is a totally different thing.
A lot more responsibility, for
sure. And there's some people who don't want children, and that's okay. Lacey Peterson wanted kids. She wanted to be a mom. She was probably going to be an amazing mother. And so to me, this sort of started this maybe like, maybe they didn't know each other as well as they thought they did, right? Or maybe there were some expectations early on in the marriage that maybe they just didn't share with one another.
Or he led her to believe that that was something he wanted down the road. Who knows?
Exactly. So we don't know. You know, sometimes you just say things because it makes your spouse feel better, right? And so, but you never know really what they could be thinking, and maybe they're not sharing everything fully. So, but then she gets pregnant. She's so excited.
Well, you wonder too, like, if he didn't want kids, was she, I mean, were they using birth control or not? I mean, so.
No. I mean, I think she wanted to have a baby, and I think he wanted to give it to her. I mean, her friend said that Scott Peterson doted on her and really loved her. And that's what they, so when this all came out, that he could be, have been responsible for her disappearance and ultimate murder, it, people were not believing it. I mean, her parents stood behind him very early on as well. So that's the problem with this, is nobody saw it coming.
Yeah.
And that's when we're going to kind of talk about, because there is a reason the LA Innocence Project has picked up this case. He has always maintained his innocence, but we're not there yet. We'll get there. We'll get there here in just a bit. All right. So now they're having a baby. All right. So at the time, he is traveling, working in fertilizer sales. Is that what you understand as well?
Yeah, big money in fertilizer sales.
Yes. Well, he traveled a lot. Also a lot of travel in fertilizer sales. Now, we know he ends up having an affair with a woman. He ends up meeting a woman. What's interesting about this meeting is a woman will come forward and say that Scott Peterson was actually hitting on her. And then that's when she tells him, you know, I'm engaged and maybe you should meet my friend, right?
Sounds like he was taking his ring off, I guess, on these trips.
Yeah.
Work trips or something.
I'm probably going to say that he was probably doing a lot of that. Yes. Because Amber Fry, by the way, that is her name, that he ends up meeting, she will go come, you know, she will say that he will talk about losing his wife, right? But he never really gives her any details. So I can pretty much guarantee probably was not wearing a wedding ring having that conversation. So we come to find out, based on recorded conversations that we'll hear in the court, letters that were found, correspondence, taped audio calls, which we'll discuss. Remember, we at Lacey's vigil, he makes a phone call to Amber, claiming he is in Paris enjoying the new year.
That always struck me as odd, too, just the time difference, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, considering they're, 6 hours?
I mean, wouldn't that be
6-7 hours difference, yeah.
Dead giveaway?
Yeah, but you know that you said that, but I hadn't even thought about that. So you have to wonder, what did he kind of not, you know, he wasn't as savvy as he thought
he was. I mean, it just looks like when the things that we watched, it was in the evening when he made this phone call. And so, like you said, 6 hours, and he says literally he's there, you know, when the, I guess.
Ball drops. Amazing. Yeah. All right. So he meets Amber Fry. They have an affair. It will also come out this, Amber Fry is not the only woman or first affair that he had. They will talk about in different, In different pieces of my research, that other women claimed that he had made passes at them, right? Had conversations with them. But Amber Fry will be the key in this case. She will be, she takes the stand against him. And one thing that they found very interesting about Scott Peterson, and you kind of see this when she first disappears on Christmas Eve, is that he has this stoic look about him. And it wasn't until he got on that interview with Diane Sawyer that he had some sort of emotion in his face. But I love when people who are, you know, are experts in telling how when people are lying, like I'm kind of fascinated. And there was someone who actually dissected that interview. But, you know, he did that interview based on basically because Amber Fry had her interview.
Well, damage control, I guess.
Yeah. So these two have started a romance, and Lacey Peterson disappears on Christmas Eve of 2002. Now, like I mentioned, she is pregnant, eight months pregnant. Her baby shower is actually coming up. So invitations had not been sent out, but I do believe it was going to be scheduled for January the 11th, 11th or 15th. But, and so this is Christmas Eve, 24th of 2002. Now, she is reported missing by her stepfather, okay, Lacey's stepfather. But we know now that Scott Peterson was not just calling one or reaching out to one or two people. He had called approximately 5 to 10 people within the morning of Christmas Eve up until he gets home at 4 o'clock, like he claims, takes a shower, Lacey's not home. Now it's time to call the parents. Okay. So, but we know now because of people who got voicemails from Scott Peterson throughout the day that he was calling people around 10 or 10:30 that morning.
And her car was still at the house.
Her car was still at the house.
So that's what's odd, that he's calling all these people wondering if she somehow managed to be with them or, you know, whatever too.
Yeah. And not only one phone call, right? One of Scott's friends said he left like 5 or 6 voicemails on his phone at looking for Lacey. You know, the guy's wife.
The neighbors, I think. Right?
Yeah, the guy's wife actually drove by the morning of Christmas Eve. And I think she believes she said it was around 9:30 or 9:45. And she sees Scott Peterson's truck in the driveway. Mm-hmm. And so she knew he was home. She didn't stop. But her husband is one of the people that Scott was reaching out to that day saying, hey, have you seen Lacey? Have you seen Lacey? Well, then the call started to come to her friends, mm-hmm. okay, her girlfriends. Hey, is Lacey with you? No, Lacey's not with me. And something interesting, when he called Lacey's parents, this is Christmas Eve, right? They're going to have dinner. There's plans. And he immediately says, Lacey is missing. That's the first thing he says when he calls the house. What do you mean she's missing? Well, Lacey is missing. He called them about 4:30. Okay. He gets home at 4, takes a shower. He notices Lacey is not there. The dog is in the backyard. No Lacey. Car's there. He's now telling the parents about her missing. But at the time, nobody really knew about these phone calls, right? And all of these messages to people looking for her. So this would have been around the times that he's taking the boat out. So he was at the marina. So where was he until 4 o'clock? He was fishing in San Francisco Bay, okay? Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about his boat because, again, kind of weird. And there's, you know, I will say this about this case. Somebody said, I can't wait to hear what you think about this. Here's what I think about this. Just before I jump into any more, guilty people don't look like Scott Peterson when he was arrested, and they surely don't have the damage control goods that he had on him when he was arrested. The guy is either the most guilty of guilt, right? Or he is the unluckiest man in the world. You are having an affair, your wife's body comes ashore right where you are fishing. She's reported missing on the same day you go fishing. And what I'm about to talk about, there just happens to be a robbery across the street from your house happening at the same time that your wife is supposedly on that same street walking the dog to the park. And I mean, that's what I mean. That's why this case is so wild. And you have to think, was he just not in his right mind? Did he really want out of this marriage so bad that even if he wasn't responsible, that he would have cared so less for her, right? That he just wanted to keep hiding it, that he wanted to continue this affair, even though he felt like, you know, if he's not guilty. But then you have the guilty side, which is, well, you know, he's arrested and caught with all this stuff. So I'm going to say that I think things typically are as they seem. I think sometimes we get too conspiracy theory-like, and we start to think up these really crazy stories. And I'm not a big believer in coincidences.
No, I don't think he wanted out of the marriage. I think he wanted to continue like it was. I think that...
But then why not cut it off with Amber and look for your wife?
Well, I mean, I'm just saying I think that happened, but I think she also probably found out, because I'm quite sure he would be much more comfortable living the two lives and going on about that. Because if you want out of a marriage, you just get divorced.
I see what you're saying. Yes. You know? Which is the trigger. I mean, which I think there was a trigger for them that day.
It wasn't like they had, he had some big trust fund, a lot of money he would have to give. I mean, that just, who knows, that probably set him off. And then obviously an argument. Well,
yeah.
Possibly an argument ensued. So, you know, and it just went a little too far.
Yeah. Okay. We'll come back to that. Let's talk about the robbery. We're still on Christmas Eve. Scott Peterson has not talked to police yet. Okay. She's reported missing at 4:00.
Well, the robbery, I thought they had determined it was not that day.
So there is now conflicting reports that it could have been two different robberies. There could have been the wrong. So the two burglars of this house supposedly had strong alibis for December 24th. But now there is reason to believe, and this is why the Innocence Project has picked this case up, because there is reason to believe that if these burglars, if Lacey Peterson saw something in front of that house and they took her, and the one thing they decided to do was to dump her body in San Francisco Bay. Again, what are the odds, right? Well, and this is why the Innocence Project picked us up. There's new DNA evidence. They want the DNA from the blood and in the van that was in the robbery, and they want to compare it to other DNA evidence.
Yeah, that just doesn't seem likely, though. People are robbing a house, disposing of a body, and I don't know.
Think about this. This is 4:00 in the afternoon. There's already been a couple tips that have come in about this burglary. See, that's what we have to remember. There's two women who called and made a report that they saw suspicious activity near this home. And this home is directly across the street from Scott Peterson's house. And it was around the exact same time that Lacey would have been going into the front yard and walking down the street. Do burglars typically kidnap pregnant women because they're seen? No, they don't.
That's what I mean. Like, they want to get away as fast as they can and hope they don't get caught later on. But I mean, that's just that's a whole different level of crime, you know?
That's what I'm saying, in broad daylight.
Yes.
Nobody sees or hears anything of
much
a woman
less,
screaming.
Like, carry her away somewhere too, you know? I mean, you might.
But remember the dog. The dog is found in the front yard. The friend walks by the home at 10:30. She sees the dog in the front yard. She opens the gate, puts the dog back in the yard. She just thinks the dog got out. But now we know we have a timeline for the dog. So this is right around when this robbery is taking place. And the dog's found in the front yard at that time and brought into the backyard. So I don't know. If you're Scott Peterson, are you leaving the dog out in the front yard, knowing it won't go anywhere and that somebody will just put the dog back? Because alibi, right? His story is that she left the house.
That's what I mean. You're kind of setting the stage that she left with the dog and the dog got away. I mean, if she
and just set it outside.
Abducted, you know, so who knows?
That's why this is
just
so wild.
Kind of covering your bases, you know?
Yeah, because that's exactly what he would have had to do. Yeah. If we believe him... if we believe him, the dog was with Lacey. Lacey was abducted, murdered. The dog was not touched, stays in the yard. Neighbor puts the
dog
back.
Like, no, to come back home. That's the other thing, too.
Well, if she would have been abducted in front of their home, the dog wouldn't have gone anywhere. It would have stayed right there.
I guess. I don't think dogs would stay.
Our dogs would not, but we have a cat that would stay right by the house. For days,
unfortunately, right? Yes.
So, okay, dog is found. So this is Christmas Eve, right? Dog is found, put back in the yard. At this point, she does not believe Scott Peterson's truck was in the driveway. So he would have already left to go fishing. So here's what he tells police, because, you know, his wife is now gone. Her father makes the phone call. They bring Scott Peterson in immediately. Where were you? Well, I was fishing. Where were you fishing? I'm fishing in San Francisco Bay. Okay, you fish on Christmas Eve? Yeah, well, I was either going to go play golf or I was going to fish. And today I decided to fish. So this is what he tells police. Now, they want to know exactly where he says.
I mean, that's not odd. That's not an odd thing to go fishing on.
Okay, you know why I don't think it's odd for him? Even though some people think that's odd. Here's why I don't think it's odd.
Well, he had never been fishing, but I'm just saying, like,
well, there's a lot of
just because it's Christmas Eve, people do stuff on Christmas Eve. But anyways, that doesn't mean he's innocent, of course.
Okay, but I want you to listen to this. I mean, Scott Peterson was at a Christmas party with Amber Fry the night before. Was it the day before Christmas Eve? Or the day before that? So within a 24 to 48 hour period of Christmas Eve, Scott Peterson had attended an out of town party with Amber Fry. So Lacey, they also had a friend's Christmas party the same night, and Lacey Peterson was there alone.
Well, I mean, he probably said he had to work.
And what did I say as a woman? There is no way. I'm telling you that night that Lacey Peterson was at that party by herself, she had already had suspicions. I think it was boiling over. I think she knew something was going on. And I think that when he returned from that, she started digging. And I think Lacey found something. That's what I seem to think, because
well, she may have had suspicions before that.
She did. Yeah. But now you're attending a Christmas party by yourself. And I'm a woman. And you're right around Christmas, and you're probably kind of thinking, okay, could it be work-related? But who knows what she found out? She could have found out there was no, you know, that who he was going with. Man, we can find out things. I'm just saying something was not sitting right with her. And I think she knew that. And I think you're right. I think he would have gone through this life living exactly how he was living. I think something set him off. Something happened that day, in my opinion. Okay, so dogs found, dogs put back. Now we're at the police station with Scott Peterson. He's telling police, you know, here's where I was and this and that. Now we have to really look at this, because in the first month, Lacey is gone, right? She's found three or four months later, I do believe. Mm-hmm. But while she's gone in that first month, he tries to sell her car. They retrieve a boat from his warehouse. They retrieve what looks like makeshift weights, right?
Anchors
yeah. for his boat. They find one in the boat, but based on staining in the warehouse, they could tell, and the way they were shaped, they could tell he had made more than what they found. Lacey's hair is found in a pair of pliers inside of the boat. And the whole thing about the boat is when they asked Lacey's parents about it, they had no idea he had a boat. But a woman did come forward and say that she actually was in Scott Peterson's warehouse for, you know, business or just something else. And she said Lacey was there using the restroom while she was visiting. So if that was the case, then Lacey would have known about the boat.
When did he buy the boat?
He bought the boat 2 weeks before she is reported missing. But what do we know about this boat? So the boat, you know, has always bothered me and kind of pushed me towards his guilt, because first of all, it was a freshwater boat.
Yeah, like a bass boat.
Like a bass boat. And I know exactly what that boat looks like, because my dad had a bass boat. And I thought to myself, I barely will go in a Texas lake in that thing. And I definitely will not enter the San Francisco Bay in that thing. And we also know Lacey's body came ashore. So my comment to you was, okay, if I'm taking a freshwater bass boat onto San Francisco Bay, I can only get so far.
Oh, yeah, the waves.
I can only probably get so far. And maybe that's as far as I can
treacherous
get.
Treacherous waves, actually.
Treacherous.
Like a low.
And now I've got a drop, right? This is as far as I can go. This is where I'm going to have to put her. And maybe it, because I'm thinking to myself, if I've got a good boat and I can get in the middle of San Francisco Bay, my chances of it coming back on shore are much smaller than they are if I don't drop it too far off the shore, because I can't get out any further.
Yeah, which makes me wonder, why would he buy that type of boat? Just cost?
Inexperience. I really don't think he knew. I think he was looking for a boat. Do you put freshwater boat on your advertisements?
Even when you're launching that boat, people would probably be looking at you like you're kind of...
But think about how much research he would have done. Do you really think he would have done any? I mean, all he's trying to do is take it one day. I think that's because he didn't know where to go. I think that's because he was trying to pick which side of the bay he was going to go on. I don't think that had anything to do with his boat.
Well,
then why not buy a well-equipped boat for San Francisco Bay? You live there and you fish.
That's what I mean. He clearly would have had to have known that you needed a saltwater boat, something that's got high sides and, even the motor and just things like that. I mean, that's what's just odd.
Yeah. You live there and that's where you would go fish. So why not just buy the right equipment? He spent $2,500 buying this boat.
That's kind of cheap.
Yeah, but you only need it for one thing, right? If he only needs it
for one thing. Maybe the money. I think that's why he just tried to get a cheap route out,
Yeah. All right. Well, again, like you said, Chris, not a lot of people say he was a big fisherman. He was much more of a golf man. Mm-hmm. So the golf course is in where they actually end up arresting Scott Peterson, because this is going to, okay, so we've got Amber Fry now finding out about this, and here's how she found out. So this is what is crazy. Her friend sees the press conference that the police are doing. So Chris, the police department, the Modesto Police Department, instead of putting out information about Lacey, looking for Lacey, they actually start to put out information about Scott Peterson, his boat, pictures of his boat, pictures of his car, pictures of the marina where he was supposedly there.
For witnesses that saw him.
Yes. So they want somebody to come forward and say, it's Christmas Eve.
Well, that's what I think too. Somebody that saw him launching that boat in that bay, clearly if you're a boater or a fisherman, that too. I mean, that's something that would stand out.
Yeah. If anybody has heard differently, let me know. But I heard there were no phone calls.
Yeah.
I heard there were no sightings of him actually at the marina or on the water. Right. Which makes you wonder too, was he even out there? It's just so bizarre. Right. This case is just bizarre. Okay. So about three or four months goes by. And Amber Fry has now found out because of that press conference. Her friend sees Scott Peterson's name, looks the truck, and he calls Amber Fry and he says, you know what? I think this is the Scott Peterson you're going out with. And she's like, what? And she looks, and it is. She immediately calls the Modesto Police Department, and they immediately start asking her to help them, right?
Was that far down the road, though? I thought it was very quickly.
No, she found out. So they put that press conference, Chris, I think they were doing that within the first 2 weeks, week or two. I mean, they were on him very quickly.
Yeah, because once she starts showing up on the news or whatever.
Yeah, they searched Scott Peterson's house 2 days after she went missing. I mean, they got a subpoena and went into the house. Now, they end up finding a couple spots of blood on the bedspread. So the bed was made. And they said, he had said, well, Lacey made the bed. Nobody has slept in the bed since Lacey made it this morning. Well, police said when one of the investigators who ended up being on a docuseries about this case, he says that it looked like somebody had been laying on the very end of the bed. When you just kind of sit down on the end of your bed and you just lay back, like that indentation. So I have a possible theory that if that's where, and remember, Scott Peterson had a big cut on his hand. So they found that in when they were interrogating him, and he said he got the cut by fishing, the cut on his hand fishing. So if indeed that cut came from a struggle in the home on that bed, there was so lack of physical evidence in that house. They found nothing besides those little specks of blood. There was absolutely no physical evidence. I think he would have had to strangle her.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of speculation on where it happened. I think.
Yeah. 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 Where it happened. The tarps, right? He had all of that at the house. His car, their cars are there the morning she disappears. I mean, we have to think they were there, right? Or there would have been no other form of transportation for him to. So we know he was at least there that morning. We don't, nobody, you know, she's not spotted, right? Although there is a tip that comes in that a man had seen a pregnant woman walking a dog Christmas Eve morning, and he swears it was Lacey. So, you know, this is why this makes this case so crazy, is because there are calls that come in and saying that they saw Lacey Peterson walking on Christmas Eve on their street.
And they never really followed up on that tip, though.
I mean, they did. It just never panned out. I mean, they just could never really determine if it was her, right? So it wasn't until then her body comes up onto shore, and then her unborn son, Connor. Back to those weights, you know, she came up torso only. Her head was gone. Her forearms from the elbows down were missing. She had no legs. I think they had been cut probably like at the kneecap. So, you know, and then here's the thing about baby Connor. They knew that she had been at the bottom of the ocean for a while because of the way her torso was found and the wildlife in the ocean that had, you know, that had fed on her, right? And then, but baby Connor, he was in good condition. I mean, he really didn't have any marks on him. It didn't look like any wildlife had gotten, you know, to him. And so that made them believe then that Connor was probably still in Lacey for a while until, you know, she was weighted down. And this is where I, you know, it's hard to look past the evidence. God, this case is built on nothing but circumstantial evidence. Nothing. There's like literally no physical evidence. But except, well, they do have her hairs in the hairs in the plier, but there was no blood on the pliers. But if her body would have been held down by those weights, that could be why she has no limbs.
Yes, just eventually they, but I guess.
And her body just floated up. Yeah. And if that is what happened, I believe that's why baby Connor was not disturbed, because he was found not that far from her, just within like, I believe, 24 hours of her. And it just seems a little impossible, if he would have been separated earlier than that, that they would have actually shown up at the same spot.
Yes.
It just seems too wild, right? So we can only assume that that's why he was so well taken care of. All right. So they find her body. But in the meantime, before they find her body on San Francisco Bay, Amber Fry comes forward. I mentioned this. She is now going to police. She's recording phone calls with Scott Peterson. He is not really looking for his wife. He is sort of ignoring the press. I mean, typically a husband would be like, where's my wife, right? Please return my wife, my pregnant wife. I love her. There's very little to no emotion from him. There's really...
I would say none.
Yeah, I mean, God, and you have to think, I know everybody handles things like this differently. I get it. But forget that. Forget your facial gestures. Forget how you feel. Think inside and show emotion. You're going to have some sort of plea, some sort of reason to go to the media. And he agreed to do it, right? That we have the media guy knocks on the door, the first one, he will come forward and say Scott Peterson he did not want to be on camera. And we know this now because Amber Fry had not found out yet at that point.
Well, he probably knew the more he said, the more somebody could pick that apart, you know?
Yeah.
Conflicting stories, perhaps.
Yeah. And so within the first month, you know, we have Amber Fry come forward. We have the vigil for Lacey where he calls Amber Fry, and this is a recorded phone call that they will end up playing at trial, claiming he's in Paris, but really he's at his missing wife's vigil. And there are several other phone calls, Amber Fry trying to get this out of Scott Peterson. He finally says to her, yeah, remember I told you my wife is gone. Well, it's complicated. I can't really talk about it right now. He sort of has this like cool demeanor, but you could really tell in his voice, he didn't really care about Lacey. Like, in my opinion, he just was so dismissive of like what was actually in reality. And I feel like this is the stoicness, this weird, you know, he's in trial. He's so stoic. He doesn't make any facial you know, he doesn't really look at anyone. He just has this blank stare on his face. They play these videotapes out loud. One reporter said it was so uncomfortable to listen to this guy because you think he's in like some alternate universe. Like what he's saying makes absolutely no sense. This is just this wild imagination of life he's living. And in reality, his pregnant wife is gone. I mean, missing, then found, and then he's arrested for it. You know, just bizarre. Okay, so Scott Peterson is the cat's out of the bag. She comes forward, does a press conference. He then turns around and does an interview with Diane Sawyer that was quite uncomfortable. You can find it on YouTube if you like to watch it. And then Lacey's body is found. And that's once they did the DNA testing, they immediately arrest Scott Peterson. And now it's time for our wine recess.
Wine recess.
Okay. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, your enchiladas were fantastic.
Thank you, thank you.
Your homemade sour cream sauce. Maybe you should keep that a secret. It's so good.
Super simple, super simple.
Yes, and then we had beans and rice and your homemade salsa. It was so good. And then we had the Texas Lush.
Yes, from Ready Vineyards.
Ready Vineyards, our friends at Texas Wine Club. Thank you, txwine.com. Go there and tell them your friends at Texas Wine and True Crime sent you. But yeah, Chris, tell us about the wine.
Well, it is a blend. It's 70% Gewürztraminer. 21% Riesling, and then 9% Albarino. So it's semi-sweet. And since we were having, I mean, not a super spicy dish, but we figured we'd pair this semi-sweet wine with a little Mexican food.
It was yummy.
Very yummy.
This wine, first of all, when I saw semi-sweet, I thought, okay, might be too sweet for me. But then I tried it.
Very quenching.
Oh, I was like, wow, I might have to have a little more taste of that. And then I'm like, okay, I see what they mean by semi-sweet because of the blends, but it's, sometimes you just got to try a wine. You know what I mean? Sometimes
no, I agree.
It's, you are so pleasantly surprised by what comes out of that bottle. And that was good. Ready Vineyards, great job on that Texas Lush. Chris, thank you.
Absolutely.
For making the dinner. It was so yummy. Thank you, Texas Wine Club, txwine.com, for, supplying us with a spicy box so we can pair it with Chris's spicy dishes.
I like spicy boxes.
Yes, we do. All right, txwine.com. You can go and pick out your own box to have ship right to your door. Yep, visit them at txwine.com. Okay, Chris, so body is found. He is arrested for her murder. Here's the thing. They didn't think they were going to get a fair trial in Modesto. Okay. So they decide that they're going to move the trial about 90 minutes away. Now, this was a national case. I don't know where you would go to completely get it out of, I mean, if they would have to move it out of California, I don't know. But this case, so they move the trial, but they were still very close to Modesto,
yes.
Right? They shared the same like zip codes, and we're not talking very far away. So this is where they end up having the trial, and they're going for the death penalty on this one, Chris. So he is being charged with capital murder, and he is not going to take the stand in his trial. He comes to court. Before I jump into this, I forgot to mention something. Scott Peterson was arrested, and he was arrested, Chris, in the parking lot of the golf course. Okay. Well, this was, I think they were found April 13th. Yep. And I think he is arrested very soon after that once it's confirmed that it's Lacey and Connor. So here's what they find on him when they arrest him. Well, here's what they find in his car. First of all, he has a goatee and his hair is blonde. So he looks different.
Yes.
He's got a full bottle of Viagra in his car. He's got $15,000 in cash. He has multiple IDs, including his own brother's. He had, like I mentioned, a new hairdo, a goatee. There was also an envelope, a manila envelope that was found with Amber Fry's work address and a handgun. Okay. So police theorized, this is their theory even to today, that Scott Peterson was going to flee to Mexico, but before he did that, he was going to kill Amber Fry. He was going to kill Amber Fry on his way to Mexico. So she would never be able to basically, because she's the nail in the coffin.
But they already had all the recordings. That's what's kind of strange too. I mean, all the evidence was there. I mean, there wasn't much more that she could say.
Well,
revenge.
Yeah, revenge. People do weird things, right? I mean, gosh, there's that one case of the guy who killed the two judges, right? And then the judge's wife and then the district attorney in the town. I mean, we haven't covered that one yet, but I mean, he was killing, you know, and that was for like stealing computers from the city. I mean, really like insignificant, right? But people just do wild things just to whatever, right? So, all right. So he's found with all this stuff in the car. And again, there was very lack of physical evidence when it comes to tying him to Lacey. So this was the trial perspective of the prosecution, was that there is so much circumstantial evidence from the boat to the affair to, and by the way, Amber Fry will ask Scott Peterson, did Lacey know about me? And he says yes. And she's like, really? And she's totally fine with it. Like, she didn't say anything to you. So was that an admission that really she did know? Right? Maybe she did. And maybe that was, maybe he didn't think about lying about that. But then why do you turn around and lie about it and say, oh yeah, she did know. Well, like, I mean, typically, but people are like, no, she didn't know.
Dead.
That's what I mean. So it's like, what do you believe? Okay. So they find all of this crazy stuff. And they put all of this information at trial. So then you think, why would an innocent guy go to the extreme of, was the bottle of Viagra to, because he had a sexual deviant, like some sort of like, what do you call it? And not an alcoholic, but a sexaholic.
Sex addict.
Thank you. Like, was he going to Mexico and his plan would have been to just go wild? I mean, with the, he had $15,000. I mean, why have a bottle of Viagra?
That is kind of strange.
I don't know. It just, to me, Viagra by a young person would be so you can like constantly be in a state of arousal and ready to go.
I agree.
So strange. Just very strange. All right. So they bring all this up in court. They play these tapes. Amber Fry takes the stand. Multiple people take the stand. Scott Peterson does not take the stand. The district attorney basically said that, you know, Scott Peterson was just pretty much in the wrong place at the wrong time, right? We talked about this burglary. A couple of tips came in. You know, we're going to learn more about this pretty much like after the trial. There's some things that are going to come out after the trial, and this is why the Innocence Project has picked this up. But police basically said that, they don't necessarily believe that the burglary happened on the 24th. Okay. They think that if it did, because the burglars had solid alibis for the 24th per police, I'm not saying that, that's just what the police are saying, and that it would have had it taken actually on the 26th, the day after Christmas.
Yeah.
What you think? I don't know. Day before Christmas, day after Christmas. I mean, you get the presents then, and then you get the present. I don't know. But we do know that those tips did come in on the 24th, that there was an actual, you know, that they felt that there was a burglary in progress. A little bit of inconsistency with the burglary, right? So that this is really the piece that the Innocence Project has right now, that they're asking for evidence for this case for Scott Peterson, because after all this trial, after all these you know, he's always maintained his innocence, but he's found guilty. He is sentenced to death. And then in 2021, they actually resentence him to life in prison.
Yeah, overturned the death penalty.
Yeah, so he's in San Quentin still. He's not sitting on death row anymore. He is spending the rest of his life in prison. But there were just so many things, you know, that were built in this case. We have the boat. We have the weights, right? We have a woman who... of a man who was having an affair and she disappears. Could she have found out about that affair and something gone wrong, right? And she was killed. You have a husband who doesn't look like he's grieving. You have a husband who doesn't even look for her. You know, you have a husband who's maintaining an affair and he's also making phone calls to her while at his wife's vigil. You have a husband who is fishing in San Francisco Bay, the same place that your wife's body comes to shore, right? And, you know, could these burglars, there was talks about a cult possibly being involved. But what did I tell you about cults? Cults cut things out of people, right? And Lacey had no lacerations to her uterus. They do not believe baby Connor was cut out of Lacey at all.
Yes.
So... they think the baby just came naturally. So these are the things that are hard to get past for me. You know, and the prosecution in this case said, he didn't have to say anything. You just saw a different character. People looked at Scott Peterson when they walked in that courtroom and thought, how could a guy be responsible for this? How can this guy be responsible for this? I'm sure they thought the same thing as about the Menendez brothers, right? But then you have these tapes being played and the lies and the manipulation in the lie to keep the other lie, you know, still a good lie.
Well, and that was probably some of the most damning evidence, I would think, too.
Never stop the affair. Okay, and what did I say? What was one point I made to you, Chris, was if that's me, right? If you're having an affair and you tell someone that I'm gone and then I really am gone and you're innocent, I think there's a part of you that goes, you know what? This is enough. Like, I need to find my wife. I need to find my wife. And I just need to fess up to this girl and be done with it and find Lacey. And I hope that I can make this better if I find her. But that's not what he did. He did the opposite.
Well, he tried to keep it going.
He tried to keep it going. He tried to not get in front of the camera to look for his wife because his mistress might see him talking about this missing woman that is supposed to not exist. And it's these lies and manipulation that I felt just is so hard to look at, to not, you know. But again, would it be crazy? Will it not be just totally crazy if we get this DNA from this evidence, if the Innocence Project, by the way, Scott Peterson had a hearing on the 12th.
Yes, March 12th.
There's another one possibly, I think, coming up, Chris, right?
Yeah, April 16th and May.
Okay, so April and May, but do you know what they're going to have a hearing about?
They wanted to present this new evidence of a burned out van that they found very close to in proximity where she was missing, and it had, I believe, a bloody garment or something in it that was sent for DNA, DNA analysis, mm-hmm. and then never got any results. So they don't know if it was just not enough or not a good sample, but that was basically just see if they could get that brought in and admitted, like as evidence.
Yeah. And then there was some DNA again from like that burnout, which they think was possibly involved in the burglary, but they don't know, or they haven't told us whether or not that was actually in the burglary. But we know there was a white van involved because they saw one, and they also found the guys who robbed the house. And so, and this is all based on a conversation that was overheard by one of the prison guards, I believe.
Yes.
And he was listening to, the recording was his brother and the inmate having a conversation on the phone. Supposedly Lacey Peterson is mentioned. And he's like, be quiet. Don't you know these are recorded? And these are and one of these gentlemen was involved in the burglary. And so, and then they said they had the tape, and then police said they lost the tape. And then the prison guard, once they went to him again to get evidence, he won't come forward. that's all so bizarre. But I guarantee you, if the LA Innocence Project, they're going to be having these conversations and figuring out about some of this information that has sort of just stalled out that could possibly point to his innocence. So I'm going to say this. If this guy, if for any reason, it comes back that Lacey Peterson's murder was someone else was responsible, that goes to me saying that this is the unluckiest man I have ever met in my life.
Not possible, but yes, he would be.
I mean, sure. What are the odds, right? So LA Innocence, I always say this, just because an Innocence Project picks up the case, it doesn't mean they're innocent. What they want to do is to make sure that they get a fair trial and that, all the evidence is looked at. And well, should be. Nobody needs to be in prison if they're innocent. So they're giving, quote, they said they are giving Scott Peterson the opportunity to prove his innocence that he has always maintained. I think the circumstantial evidence is too hard to look away from. I think that has always been, again, what are the odds, right? So we shall see. We shall see what happens with this case. It's not over yet, Chris, but we'll keep everyone up to date. By the way, he attended that last hearing over Zoom. I do believe that is how he's going to attend the rest of these. So we shall see. We shall see what comes out of the new evidence and what the court is actually willing to give the Innocence Project access to. Because they are saying Scott Peterson did not receive a fair trial.